What's up, everybody? I'm JC.
I'm Brittany.
And you're listening to
Just Breathing Home Edition.
Yes. Yes. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Just Breathing Home Edition. This is a time where we bring you into our home and we talk about family. We talk about everything going on in this world from a perspective of parents, from a perspective of a married couple, from a perspective of home life. And that's what we want this podcast to be about. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening and watching this. Tonight, I actually wanted to get into a topic that hopefully I'll be able to kind of shut up more on and cause you to speak a little more. But I think you'll understand why. So I've been kind of just looking around at the landscape of this world right now and culture and things of that nature. And I kind of see this discussion, and I'm going to frame it in a form of a discussion going around the topic of, I'm going to butcher this word, femininity, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be female in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wanted to get into this because we have a daughter. We just celebrated her 5th birthday party, and that girl means the world to me. And I really want to be able to have a clear understanding of how I'm raising her, mm-hmm. what I'm pointing her towards, who I'm pointing her towards, what she should be kind of looking at or looking towards to become as a woman that she grows into.
Yeah.
I mean, this girl is already drawing wedding dresses, which scares the living crap out of me. But I really want to know more of your thoughts on this whole subject, because it's actually kind of weird. There's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of kind of disagreements on what it means to be female. And you could argue that some of that came out of the 60s with sort of the feminist movement. And there's a lot of confusion on what that means nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's confusion as per someone's understanding of what they think it means to be a strong woman or to be female or what that looks like in today's society. I think there's just a lot of confusion because of a lot of other factors that are getting kind of injected into the feminist.
I think there is confusion. Argument. I think there is confusion even in people's own minds.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong.
No, you probably are right. You probably are right. I'm looking at it from a perspective of a guy, and I can't really speak on these issues as well as a strong female like you could.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what I wanted to get into tonight, is like, what does it mean to be female in 2021? You know, what should we be talking about? What should we be reading about? What should we be looking at to raise our next generation of women? So that's kind of the topic that I just wanted to put out there and kind of get some of your thoughts on. But
I think that's a great question, and I definitely do not have all the answers. And but I can kind of speak from what I've learned in my experience, to go off the one thing that you said about, like the confusion about it. I think there's actually a lot of confusion about it.
Okay.
Because when you talk about what it means to be a female, it's, first of all, it has the true meaning has not changed, but the cultural meaning has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So women have been valued in different ways and looked upon in different ways in different cultures throughout the years. And that brings a lot of confusion because the culture is telling you what you should be and what you shouldn't be.
Right.
Whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to say that. So with that said, I mean, me as a young person growing up, I actually wasn't really sure. I was confused. And that, I think that leads to a lot of destructive tendencies in young women mm-hmm. because they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're trying to listen to the voices that are outside of them telling them, or they're listening to the voices inside of them that are telling them things that are also not good. And so, I mean, for me as a believer in Jesus, I always have to go back to that. So what, you know, I go back to the very beginning, you know, what did he say? So he made man and then he made women, like a woman, mm-hmm. and he said they were both very good. So first of all, there it is. I'm equal with my male
right.
people. So they're not less than me and right. they're not more than me and I'm not more than them or am I less than them? And so that's really important. That's crucial. Yeah. And then just learning how God made me to relate with them mm-hmm. and with him. And so I think that for me, that has been my journey as I've been kind of growing and what this means. And so I can explain a little bit more. But so I think in this culture, we really have to understand those fundamentals before we can understand like what we look like in this day and age.
Because if we don't understand that we're equal under the divine,
right,
we're going to look to other means to prove our equality.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're...
And it's also easy for us to, I think we get confused a lot or mixed up in like, just in that truth. Mm. So we are trying to, I think it seems to me that the culture thinks that men are better than them, or they think that people elevate men better than women. And so there's this extra working hard
yeah.
to say, no, we're just as good mm-hmm. or we're better.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with making sure we have equal rights. I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
But there's a problem when we actually go beyond and we're trying to make ourselves look better, or we're working so hard to prove that we're just the same.
Mm.
I think that can be exhausting when we really are. So I don't know. There's so much to that question, but like right. you think back, you know, years back, women had less rights. And they were looked on as less. And so we had women that worked in the past to really kind of push for equal, just
opportunity,
mm-hmm. equal opportunity, and for men not to kind of be able to dominate over women.
Yeah.
For women to be able to be free enough to get out into safe situations or out of abusive situations.
Yeah.
And that's all really good, especially for young women. For young little girls who weren't able to learn. So that's good. Or they were looked at for just, you know, in other cultures, they still are kind of looked at as just a cattle almost. So I think it's important for us to fight for equal there. But yeah, I mean, and then you go back to, this is what I have been learning, is you go back to God created a woman to be, they call it, the helper mm-hmm. for the man. And I know a lot of women kind of, that rubs them the wrong way, but then you have to go back to, and this is what I've gone back to, because when I first kind of thought of that and heard what culture says about that,
yeah.
that kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit too, just because I was listening to what they were saying.
Yeah.
But if you go back to the first thing I said, that we're equal under God, God didn't say you're less than women. You're going to just help the man because he's better than you. He never mm-hmm. said that. He said, you're both very good, and I created you to help him. Mm-hmm. So when we're in our perfect place, not less than, but helping if we're talking about marriage now, in a marriage situation, and the man is loving the wife as Christ loved the church, and now we could get into a lot there.
Yeah.
But so that means self-sacrificial love. So he's protecting the wife, loving her like he would love his own body. Okay, so if he's actually doing that role and the woman's actually being the best help that she can be to that man, that's a powerful dynamic right there. And that is perfection. And really, that is what the man wants, and that is what the woman wants. Now, I know a lot of women will not like that either, but that's probably because we have poor examples.
Right. Or those women aren't in a marriage.
Or they're not in a marriage. Mm-hmm. But women, we do look for that strong person to lead us, whether we like to admit it or not. And now let me go a little bit further in a darker alley here, but talking about the whole like sex trade and all that kind of stuff, you have all of you have this lure of women wanting to feel powerful with having men want them. Mm-hmm. And that's because of that need to have a man over them who loves them and does want them, but in a very loving and protective relationship, where they do lead, but they don't dominate. They don't abuse, but they are a leader. And we've taken things that God intended and we've twisted it and we've twisted everything. So now it's all mixed up and it's confusing and it's hard for us to figure out what does a strong woman look like.
Yeah.
And
where do you think a lot of that confusion really stems from now, today? Not going back to the past and kind of seeing some of the talking points that are very antithetical to some of the points that you have already made. Mm-hmm. Not going back to the 60s and 70s where there really was a push, well, even going back to after World War II, so the 50s, there was this transformation that happened that I think was a positive transformation in women having to be in the workforce because all the men were overseas fighting World War II, mm-hmm. and women became nurses, they became factory workers, they became a lot of these more professional positions.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic that that took place and kind of got us over the hump of making equal opportunity for women to be in those fields.
Right.
Then out of that kind of stemmed the 60s and 70s that sort of pushed for this, you know, anything you can do, we can do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
sort of notion.
Uh-huh.
And it still exists today. I don't want to, if this is not what you think really this confusion stems from, tell me, but I just see a lot of that philosophy, and it is a philosophy that women not only are equal to men, but that they are better mm-hmm. than men in many regards.
Yeah.
And we've kind of even tried to, in many ways, eliminate men's, not roles, but eliminate men's attributes
mm-hmm.
from certain things in society
and their roles,
but eliminate men's abilities in certain ways that just naturally make them better at certain things than women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to say women are equal, we have to make sure that they are equally competing, equally able to do the same exact tasks that all men can do.
Right, right.
Do you think that's where a lot of the confusion has come in, where or does it stem from somewhere else?
I mean, I'm sure it stems from a lot more than what I can see, but from what comes to mind as you're talking is, first, I think we have trouble, all of us, men and women, with authority.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
I'm going to forget the other thing that I was thinking, but I'll just go into that real quick. So. Men, with a Christian worldview, I guess you would say, men are under God, or so are women, but women are supposed, in the marriage kind of situation, we're supposed to be under the authority of the husband,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's not like a abusive thing. That's just, we're under that person. They lead. You can't have two leaders because you will go in two different directions.
Right.
So you have to have one, like any business or whatever. You have people that are in charge at varying degrees. So the man is supposed to be in charge. And so I think the women have just, because going back a little bit in the past, because of past abuses of that, we don't like that at all. I think it's just a tendency to not want authority. And so we're mm-hmm. kind of just opposed to that.
Yeah.
And so we reject it with total passion.
And I think it's the totality of the rejection of those types of roles that have been around for centuries, mm-hmm. millennia, that, you know, men were there to lead. And there is 100% abuse mm-hmm. on the part of the males in that role.
Yeah.
And it's hard to come to grips. Can this role still exist in the capacity that it had done if abuse existed within that same capacity?
Yeah.
And I understand the rejection.
Yeah.
I definitely understand the rejection of it. Is that a reason to throw the entirety of that role, you know, out with the bathwater?
Right.
You know, that type of thing where now it's so almost taboo. Like all the stuff that you're saying right now, I'm so glad you're saying it. and that's why I want you to talk more in this conversation, because if it was coming from me, I would look like a patriarchal, crazy person. Even though, like you mentioned before, in context, so if we go back to the beginning of the Word of God, man and woman were created in the image of God, the divine, God and his Trinity said, let us make man in our own image, male and female, we created them.
So that's pretty awesome.
Equal mm-hmm. playing field from that place. And then you go to the other verse that you mentioned, which was, you know, women, yes, are supposed to be under the authority of their husbands. And this really is a marriage focused context, mm-hmm. but the men are then to love their wives, like you said, as Christ loved the church. So we're supposed to love our wives and Christ's church is his body, the group of people that make up Christianity as a whole. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to love our wives in that same way.
So that's a really high standard.
Jesus died. Yeah. Jesus gave his life for the church, mm-hmm. what would become the church. So we are, as men, supposed to have this self-sacrificial love, this laying down of yourself, kind of what we talked about in the past with marriage, this 100% of yourself is for that person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give all of me to you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And I do think, because I've seen it in our marriage, that that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because people are like, oh, you can't speak for all women. You can't speak for all women. Okay. All we can do is give, you know, anecdotal evidence mm-hmm. of successful relationships.
Right.
And that's all we're really doing in this podcast, is just looking at what's been done in the past that has been successful, looking at what's been done in our personal lives mm-hmm. that has been successful, and trying to get that truth out to everybody that's listening and watching this. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, just in terms of, is there other reasons why women really would oppose this structure?
Well, I think another reason, there's like a couple things coming to my mind. The further we come away from the truth of what God says about us, the more confusing it's going to get. And then the more less understanding there's going to be about what even, who said that there has to be a structure.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like the structure comes from the Word of God.
Right.
Okay. So if there's no Word of God, if you don't care about that,
mm-hmm.
there's no structure.
Right.
So anything goes.
And all you can do then in that circumstance is go back to my previous point, is learn.
Right.
From evidence.
Right.
if you see a successful marriage or a successful relationship, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Dig into how their relationship is built.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to look at the, an architect has to look at the blueprints of how, you know,
right.
the Empire State Building was right. built if they want to build their own side, yeah. skyscraper.
That's a really good point. Like look back in the past of people, women mm-hmm. who have been successful or couples who have been successful and how did, yeah, what was the surrounding things around that to figure it out?
I think something that's really important just to stay on that line for 1 second is when you're looking at the past of the most successful women, what you'll find is there was a successful marriage.
Mm.
You look at a lot of the really successful political leaders nowadays. There's a really, I know a couple examples of women that are in politics that have a very strong husband
mm.
that's basically their assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That's their kind of campaign manager.
Yeah.
That's their, you know, support system
yep.
for this endeavor.
Right.
You know, and so there the roles are reversed in one way,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the professional life, but there's still that same structure
right.
that we're talking about that just exists in a slightly different
right.
way for that purpose.
And that's usually, you know. Not always, but that's usually the way it is when it's the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
Usually very successful men have, even if it's not a marriage relationship, have a strong support of a female
mm-hmm.
In their life.
Yeah. And that's really the key to what we're talking about is that support system.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that in a relationship if either person is going to pursue something,
mm-hmm.
anything
right.
in life. You got to have that support system. And what I've really seen is without that, I'm not going to get into that because that'll just, I don't know the evidence of that too well. So I'm not going to get in there, but basically I just want to stress this, the way that this structure really helps make people successful.
Yeah.
I think that's so, so, so important.
And there's now I don't have as many examples in the back of my head for this one, but I can think of a few examples of even single women who have been successful
mm-hmm.
have usually done it in a very respectful manner, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like they did awesome things mostly out of like hard work and perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done great, great things.
Yeah.
And I just say that because like, I think that's important. Hard work and perseverance. Like if you want to do something great as a woman, like, that's the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Like it's in a respectful way.
I remember what I was going to say. A lot of times what you'll see, and this could lead to another discussion, is the women that I was talking about in politics or in some type of business leadership position that have a strong husband that's really supporting them in that endeavor, they're not pursuing children. At that time, most of those women don't have children, not until later in life.
Right.
That's not the path for a lot of women. That's not the desire of a lot of women.
Right.
You thought that was your desire coming into our marriage.
And there is a lot of backstory behind that too.
Yeah. I mean, we discuss that all the time, like going into marriage, like you thought you were going, at that time you made more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, oh, I'm going to work full time. I'm going to kind of be the grounding for us to pay our mortgage
right.
and, you know, whatever. And then things changed.
Yeah.
And then we got pregnant. You got pregnant. I don't like when you say we. I didn't do anything. Very little. But you got pregnant. You had your first kid and you said, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
That changed the whole structure.
Mm.
You said to me, you better get a better job. Essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And so I did. And so that structure is malleable for the ability
yes.
of that relationship or marriage to be successful.
Right.
We shifted so mm-hmm. that I went and I got a better job. I made sure that I could provide that financial structure right. for our family, and you desired to be a mother.
Right.
You know, and to pursue that and with all you had.
Yep.
And we made it work. Mm-hmm. You know, so this structure that we're talking about is malleable. It shifts.
Right.
But that the foundations don't shift. Mm-hmm. You have to have that support system. You have to have that self-sacrificial love from both parties involved in that relationship. And you have to have that helper mm-hmm. portion be there.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from being self-sacrificial in your love.
Right.
Honestly. I think the helper thing, people get hung up on that. And I'm like, you don't want to help your spouse?
Right.
Why are you in a relationship?
Right. And just to say real quick, because I just read this today, in John, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send the helper to you. So, I mean, people who read the Bible will only get that. But basically what we're saying is one of the three of God, they're calling a helper. Mm-hmm. So does that make him any less God?
Right.
No.
Right.
So yeah. I just thought that was interesting. But
it's fascinating to me to watch, because I do see it, and I especially see it with young people. Whenever these types of conversations come up, they immediately default to some of the feminist narratives. Mm-hmm. Of, oh, a man's not going to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, man's not going to be over me.
Right, right.
You know, I'm going to be in control. I'm going to dominate. Right.
Which can I stop you there? Yeah. Okay, so I understand that.
Sure.
But if we just take a step back and listen to what you just said there. So a woman is saying, he's not going to tell me what to do. So, okay, then who is going to lead in this relationship?
Right, no one.
No one is. And it's going to be a mess. And like, yeah. I'm not trying to be like devil's advocate here. I'm just saying like there is a structure put on it because it's beneficial for us and it works.
Right.
Like you can't.
It's beneficial for both parties.
It's beneficial for both parties. Parties.
Purpies.
For both parties. Because if you're not willing to be led, then are you going to lead your husband? I mean, I don't think he wasn't built for that.
No.
Maybe he'll follow you, but then you have to take on all those responsibilities. I don't believe that is biblical, mm-hmm. but it's not going to work out well. You're going to smash your husband's everything that he was made to do, to protect and provide and lead you. He's just going to be like a bum in a corner, which you right. hate. And you're going to have to make all the decisions and hold all the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to do that. Yeah. But
that's what we find a lot of times. And to keep it within the bounds of marriage right now, respect is a huge, 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 huge thing that men need mm-hmm. from the people that they love the most.
Yeah.
You know, especially their spouses, even from their close friends, even from their family members, they need respect.
So can I ask you a question then?
Sure.
This is interesting. Okay, so how do you feel? Like, let's just say, let's keep it personal.
Okay.
Let's just say that I said that sort of thing to you, that I was like, you can't lead me at all. Mm. I will fight you at everything because you, maybe I'm being dramatic here, but.
Not really. I've heard of it.
Like you can't tell me to do anything. I'm going to tell you what to do and you better do it. Mm. Like how does that feel respectful wise? Because I will say that women are bad at this.
Yeah.
I am bad at this. I'm learning what being respectful means. I want to be that.
Right.
But I struggle. It doesn't make as much sense to me. Mm-hmm. So how does that kind of language or actions feel to you respect wise?
Bad. No, I it's hard to kind of put myself in that framework because you don't do that to me. So I'm trying to like put myself in the framework of if I had, it's so hard because I wouldn't have a woman
yeah.
say that to me. Because I know of what I'm giving of myself mm-hmm. and it's so disrespectful to put that aside for your personal gains, for your personal, I don't know, need to lead. It's difficult to kind of put myself in that framework or in those shoes. I definitely think if that conversation happened, and it's never really happened in our marriage, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I know I would be hurt. Like I said before, I think I would be mostly hurt. And it's really hard to come back from that hurt and not have that hurt turn to resentment. And resentment's probably one of the biggest killers of marriage. Because if I had no role because you just wanted to kind of take the reins of parenting, if you wanted to take the reins of our marriage, if you wanted to take the reins of our finances and left me not being able to engage at all, I would just feel resentful.
Yeah.
That I played no part in this.
Yeah.
And I think I think we're really kind of touching on something that happens in a lot of marriages. There is a lot of resentment. And I think there's a lot of resentment too, to bring it back to the women, on men that try to take all the reins too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's resentment that kind of fuels the desire for women to say, enough, I'm going to do something around here.
Right.
And then
that's a good point.
The totality comes in and we're like, I'm going to do everything around here.
Right. Especially if you think that the person that's supposed to be leading you isn't doing everything they should be doing.
Especially if it's, especially in an unhealthy relationship, if let's say the man is in charge of the finances, or at least in charge of kind of making the money for the family, and he uses that as a club.
Oh, yeah.
In the relationship.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, and he comes home and he's like, I'm going to go out with my friends, or I'm going to do this, or we're going to do this. We're going to buy this because I make the money around here.
Right. So she has no say.
So she has no say. Now, that's only one aspect of the marriage. But if the woman gets resentful of that, well, then maybe she's like, well, I do everything around the house.
Right, right.
I'm raising our kids.
And then we're keeping tally now. Yeah.
Right. We're keeping tally. And we've talked about that in the past too with marriage. You don't keep record of wrongs.
Yeah.
That's a biblical point. But like, that is so necessary in a relationship so that you don't become resentful.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one. Definitely. Definitely. And what I've actually seen, and this is just kind of more evidence of this resentment that I see happen a lot, is I've seen, usually it was men that felt disrespected by women.
Mm.
What I've seen happen in 2021, I just heard it in a podcast the other day, a lot more women are kind of crying, I'm not getting respect.
Hmm.
It used to be like men just, no one respects me.
Right.
You know, but I've started to hear more and more women like, hey, I'm out here grinding. I'm out here working hard. I'm out here, you know, keeping up with the men. Where's my respect?
Right, right.
Where's my respect?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I don't really know what to make of that because it's so new and I just started really thinking about it, but I found it interesting. It stood out to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know what to make of that.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, once again, kind of like what you said, but I feel very respected in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have like a lot of personal experience to kind of say that, but I can see that. Like, I appreciate that you honor and respect the work that I do mm-hmm. here, especially because I'm actually self-conscious of that a lot because like, I know the house is a mess most of the time, but I also know that like, I'm doing a lot of stuff but it's not things that you can visibly see. And so I think that that respect is a big deal, because women respecting men and men respecting women in just what we do as we give our 100%, because yeah, it's easy to become resentful or think that they should be doing more.
Yeah.
Without that respect. So,
and that's an interesting point that you bring up with how you feel self-conscious about the work that you're doing, and it's work.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of work around the house. And right now with my full-time job, I'm teleworking. So I get to see all of the work and all of the craziness that you have to deal with the children, you know?
But with that said, sorry to interrupt you, but like, I think we do become self-conscious because the culture tells us, or at least it tells women, that we should be able to keep it all together, first of all, and that we probably should also have a full-time job, because good, strong women have full-time jobs, which, don't get me wrong, you have to be a strong woman to have a full-time job and have a kids and a house. Like, so I'm not putting that down at all, because I respect that. And I think that that is amazing. But it tends to look down on those who like are at home more.
Yeah.
And you feel almost like a little bit less than, because you're not out there making, working a full-time job, and you feel like, oh, well, maybe this isn't like enough, which is a lie. And so, but I believed that lie in the beginning. That's why I wanted to work full-time, because I thought that would give me more value. When we first got married, I didn't really like really want to do that, but I was like, I can.
Right.
And I would
maybe
make a lot.
Maybe if I can, I should.
Maybe if I can, I should. And my husband will probably love me more. And of course, I never told you to this, but my husband will probably love me more and think that I'm better, a better woman, because I do this. And he's expecting this of me because the culture expects this of me.
Wow.
And then you have a kid and then you're like a little rocked. Not all women, not all women, but I find a majority are kind of like, wait, someone's going to take care of my baby.
Right.
I don't really want it to be anyone else but me.
Yeah.
And so that's really hard. And I just have to say this too. That's really hard for women who don't want to go back to work full time, but they have to. Right. So that's something that makes me upset about the way we've built our culture on the way we look at women, because we've devalued their position at home so much now that like you almost have to have both people working to support your family and your house.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad, because
almost
it's hard.
I think there's also a lot of other factors that the world or our current American culture sort of places on us, that we have to have a certain type of house.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or certain type of cars, or certain type of fill in the blank of what your type of thing is.
That's true.
And that does require two people to be working. Daycare is expensive too. So if we're going to make that decision that both parties want to work, well, we're going to have to pay for the best daycare.
Yeah.
We don't want a crappy daycare.
Yep.
You know, so
that's a good point.
You do kind of get stuck in this. Well, we got to have a nice house because people are going to respect us more.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we have a nice house, or people are going to respect us more with the cars we drive. And, so then again, it goes back to kind of this
looking good for the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Before we get too far from what you were saying, I find it interesting, because everybody knows this, the rise in single motherhood in our country is out of control. And it's not a racial thing. It's terrible in all cultures. It's terrible in any race, any suburbs, urban. It doesn't really matter now. Single motherhood it just permeates all of our culture right now.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad for the kids, because they're really losing out on upbringing. And it's very, and as you do see with a lot of generational single motherhood, it's, you kind of know it's coming because of the lack of two parents in the household.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to be safe, but I think it stems from a lot of the things that we've been discussing, where women think they need to be this or do this or have this man or all of these things that are sort of placed on them, mm-hmm. like was placed on you early on, mm-hmm. and what was in your mind. And that's not the structure that's going to keep that man or attract the right man
into that
relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of these women now that are single motherhoods, the man that impregnated them came from a single mother mm-hmm. household.
Mm-hmm.
Or a grandparent household. There's a lot of that. No parent household, you know? So it's just very cyclical in its formation. And yeah, it's just so sad.
Yeah,
it's just so sad to me. And like, that's why I want to talk about it and provide any advice for a means of change. And this change, we provided a structure that works
mm-hmm.
and that has worked in the past, is currently working, and will work into the future.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't believe in the Bible is a philosophical understanding of how to live life.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So you don't even have to, there are plenty of people that have read the Bible and have gained philosophical
wisdom
mm-hmm. from the pages of it.
Right.
And yeah, it's just to just completely say, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, I don't believe in the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm not going to take any of the parts that are good.
Right.
Even though if you were actually honest with yourself and sit and like, look at your life, you're doing a lot of the biblical principles in there.
Right.
You just don't call them
right.
biblical principles anymore. You follow the Ten Commandments, hopefully. Hopefully you're not killing people. Hopefully you're not, you know, lusting after your neighbor's spouse.
Right, right.
And acting on it. You know, hopefully you're all of them. But then there's these principles that we've discussed of just something that our founding fathers put into the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. We were all created equal.
Yeah.
That is in the beginning, God created man and woman in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
Man and woman, he created them.
Yeah.
And they were very good.
Yeah. That solves so many problems.
It really is the core. If you can understand your value, that you were created in the divine.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to picture it.
Yeah.
That's what you were created in.
Yeah.
That's an incredible, liberating thing.
Yeah.
Concept.
I feel like that's such a powerful concept, because if you bring everything back to that first truth and idea, I mean, going from there will help you figure out your next step.
Right.
You know, if you feel like you're struggling to know like why it is you feel a certain way, or if this is a good choice, or why are you making this choice? Is it first based in that truth? Because if it's not, then it's going to be messy.
Honestly, that first truth is what will deal with your feelings of being disrespected. It'll deal with your feelings of resentment.
It'll deal with your desire to feel like you need to do more in order to be valued at the same level, or it'll stop you from trying to be better than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand that there are still men that are chimps. I don't know a better way to describe them, that still view women in a less than.
Oh, yeah. I think there's plenty of that.
Know, bag of meat.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help when women are displaying their produce for men not to have these notions.
Yeah.
of women, mm-hmm. sadly.
Which is also sad because that comes from a need that's not being met.
Yes.
They do not feel loved.
Yeah.
And they maybe have not experienced the correct kind of love. And so they are looking for that attention, even though they may not realize that the attention that they're going to get isn't real mm-hmm. and it's not going to be lasting.
Right.
So they're still seeking right. that role from the beginning
mm-hmm.
to be loved.
Yeah.
Well, like we all want that.
Yeah.
And yeah. so that's, it's just, it's sad because all the lies create all these, we're just trying to fill these desires in the wrong ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, it's messy and it's sad. That always makes me sad when I see that. Cause you know, usually you look at that kind of thing and you're kind of like annoyed, or at least as a woman, you're like, how dare she? But when you really kind of dig down, it does make you sad because that person really is crying out for
yeah.
love. And for whatever reason.
And that's something I don't really hear a lot, sadly. Because everything's so political. And we always kind of come back to this and the culture war, the politics, all of this stuff. That's real. That is happening. But these are also human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, it would be nice if you started the respect of those human beings
right.
that are made in the image of God. I mean, that's really how that concept that we've talked about for ourselves personally really goes out into the world, is that you understand that every human
yes.
is made in the image of God. And you have to look at them as creatures of the divine.
Yeah.
That's a...
But you're going to treat them differently if you look at them that way.
Right, you're going to treat them differently. And it goes back to another biblical story of that Jesus told of, you know, when you care for somebody that was in need, you were caring for me.
Mm.
Because the divine, Jesus, the Word, the first person that's mentioned in Genesis in the Bible, He's the image in which you were created in,
yeah.
the divine image that you were created in. So when we treat people badly, we are treating the divine
Yikes.
Poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Man, does that change a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And it should change the way that you look at your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend.
Yourself.
Yourself. You know, I'm just thinking of my initial reaction to, I guess the Grammys took place this past week.
Oh, okay.
And it was a thing. It was interesting.
I don't know
it
what
was
happened,
interesting.
So.
Well, no one watched it, but the aftermath of all like the highlight videos that were coming out about just the really gross displays of, you know, women doing like sexual acts and like just the way in which they sort of heightened the songs that are about highly sexualized things. And this was like empowering for women. And I was disgusted by it. You know, visually I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and every man is like, I mean, keep going.
Right.
You know,
right.
this is great for me.
Right.
Be empowered.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
You know, but it's not healthy
no.
for any of us.
For no one. Yeah.
And I didn't look at that video and say, man, those women are crying out for love, because we know, because they're public figures, that they've been in relationships in which their boyfriends or husbands have cheated on them.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
That should break our hearts for that human that is going through this terrible relationships that lead to them crying out for more love
mm-hmm.
from outside, you know, influences that will shower them with praise for their, you know, empowerment, for their femininity,
yeah.
for their whatever.
Right.
But they're not actually being satisfied because they don't know who they are in the eyes of the
yes.
divine.
Yes.
I don't know. It's it, I even as we've had this conversation, I've had to kind of check myself and the reactions that I had when I saw that.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, it was a performance by Cardi B for a song called WAP.
Oh, goodness.
And if you don't know what WAP means, don't look it up.
Yeah, don't.
I don't really want to like send anybody to watch these things. But that's the context that I was talking about. And like I said, I have a new perspective. My heart breaks for these women, not in a condescending, looking down on them way, knowing that I'm looking at them in the same way that I know that I have tried to find love, that I've tried to garner attention to myself to just feel respected or to feel important or to feel valued.
Yeah. Because we've all done it.
And we should want that for everybody.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm getting at. But any other thoughts that you have topic?
I just think it's a good thing to have those base truths kind of figured out in your life. And yeah, I mean, just think through things. I think my braces are bothering me. I just think because we are so showered with what we should be as males and females, we don't even realize the things that we're believing until they're confronted. Because like going back to how I thought about working full time, like my parents never said anything about that.
Right.
Like,
they didn't
push me in that direction. They didn't teach me that.
Yeah.
I just thought that. I just learned that because of the culture that we live in. So yeah, I guess, I mean, there's no really way to prevent that because it just happens. So, I mean, letting yourself listening to this is good, and just letting yourself be more aware of maybe why you have these certain tendencies. And it's important.
I think being aware of some of the core principles that we talked about tonight, knowing your value first is the most important thing and will solve so many of your issues. If you're dealing in your relationships with resentment, be honest with yourself. If you're not honest about your resentment, it will lead to other things.
That's good. Good advice.
So be honest with yourself. Be honest with your spouse. The best thing that if you're a man listening to this, that you could do is to say to your wife, I'm not feeling respected. And that's going to be a hard conversation. And honestly, in a lot of circumstances, she's not feeling valued. If you're not feeling respected, usually both of those things are in play at the same time. So don't be surprised when she comes back with,
how dare you?
Well, what do you do that deserves my respect?
Yeah.
And that's going to hurt, but at least you started that conversation because it needs to happen. And if you don't allow it to happen, again, it will lead to things that you don't want to happen in your relationship or your marriage.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts for the women out there?
No, I mean, I think that's what you just said is great.
Yeah. Rewind, listen to this again. Leave your thoughts and comments. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you comment. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear it. If you disagree vehemently, comment. Tell us. I'm just glad that you're listening. I'm glad that we're having this conversation because it needs to be had. It's not really happening in a respectful way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fighting about it. You know, no, this is what a woman should be. No, this is what a woman should be. And I don't see anybody coming down to the level of, hey, we're all in this together. Hey, we're all equal. Even women. Women need to see that we're all equal.
Yeah.
So that they can have a conversation and better themselves for society, for their relationships, for the world. So thanks everybody for listening, for watching this. I hope this was a good conversation for you. This is Just Breathing Home Edition. We'll be back with another episode of Just Breathing Home Edition on Monday. We usually release home editions on Mondays. When I have a Just Breathing with Lauded Lungs episode, those will be released on Fridays, so make sure to tune in for those. Before you go, those watching on YouTube, make sure that you like this, that you subscribe, and that you hit the notification bell. And those that are listening, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, a rating, all that good stuff. That's really just to get this podcast more listeners. We love doing this, but we want more people to listen to it. And we would really value it if you left us a rating and review and subscribed and followed and did all that stuff. So thanks, everybody. We love you all. And we'll see you on the next episode.